welcome to our AA meeting on air, 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Harriet, and I'm an alcoholic, and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers, Rose, Natalia, and Chantel, who will be sharing their experience, strength, and hope with you all. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
This is the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Rose, would you like to share your experience, strength, and hope with us, please?
Good morning. My name is Rose and I'm an alcoholic. I'm really grateful to be able to share the message of recovery today. And I know that that hasn't always been the case, and I haven't always, you know, I never knew that recovery was possible. As a teenager, I loved drinking. All my friends were doing it. And I found that when I drank, I got out of myself. I thought I felt connected with people. I thought that it gave me a sense of belonging. And the first time I drank, I blacked out. And that kind of continued all through my drinking. But I didn't see it as a problem. I was a teenager. Everyone was drinking. But what started happening for me is that my drinking got worse. I started thinking about it all the time. I started obsessing about when I was going to get it, where I was going to get it from, how I was going to get it. You know, being that age, we had to get someone to buy it or, you know, steal it or steal it from our parents or have a parent that was prepared to buy it for us. And that's just how we live. But as time progressed, things started happening that I wouldn't normally do. You know, I would end up with strange people. I would end up in situations that were really dangerous. And people started to not want to be around me. I wasn't a very pleasant person when I was drinking. I was quite angry. And I would wander off places and get lost, and people would worry where I was. And it was a really unpleasant experience for my friends. And over time, I really strained those relationships with other people. And, you know, to the point where I'd turn up at parties and people's houses and I would see my friends running away because they just didn't want to be around me. And I never connected that it was the alcohol that was a problem. I never knew that my drinking was causing people to not want to be around me. And so I just got new friends. I drank with different people who drank like me, and I just kept going. But it did progress, and I ended up in losing my job. I ended up losing a flat I was living in, and my friend basically saying, "I don't want to deal with you anymore." And that was kind of a catalyst for a big change in my life. I felt alone. I got admitted into a psych unit, and that's where drinking can take us, or took me. And then I ended up in AA through a friend of the family. She said, you know, why don't you try AA? And I'd never thought about it. It never crossed my mind. I never thought that was a problem. But I went to this meeting, and I sat down and everyone around me was normal. Like, I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that. And I sat down and I heard people talk about what happened when they were drinking, how they felt that big black hole, the loneliness, the separation, the not being able to put it down. And something just clicked for me. I don't know what it was. And I just kept coming. I got a lady who offered to sponsor me. And what that meant for me was a lot of cups of tea, a lot of fellowship and friendship that I didn't really trust to start with, because I didn't know what I was coming in for. You know, I didn't know what to expect. But people welcomed me back. And this woman invited me into her home, and what happened was, as we walked through this book together, through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which told me about my problem. It told me about what happens when I drink to my body and what happens to my mind, that I can't stop thinking about it. And when I drink, it sets off a craving that I can't control, and I'm always going to want more. And I think something deep down in me knew that that was me. And slowly, I guess, my life started to change. I didn't get those friends back that I lost, and that was definitely a grief. But I didn't have to drink through any of that, and what happened was, as I got another group of friends. I got another, I guess, what we call a fellowship of people grow up around me, that wanted me to come back. They encouraged me to come back. And I moved to Auckland. I studied, I got a job. You know, things started to change in my life. And I don't think about drinking at all. Like, it's not about drinking for me today. Today it's about living. It's about all the stuff that happens in life that I didn't want to face. It's involved me really looking at myself. It's involved me going through a process to find out who I am, because I never knew who I was. I was just always what you wanted me to be. I just molded myself into a person that I thought you would like, and I didn't have my own sense of self. So AA has been about me finding my sense of self. It's been about me learning what I like and what I don't like. And it's been about helping other people on the journey as well. Like, I've had the privilege of taking other women through the 12 steps and seeing their lives change. And that's what recovery has taught me to do. It's taught me to be useful. It's taught me how to have relationships with other people where I'm not just thinking about myself. I'm thinking about other people, what I can bring to life. And I have difficult days. I don't think about picking up a drink, but I've learned to use the tools of the fellowship and the program, picking up the phone, prayer, meditation, and all those things are part of my daily life now. It's just what I do. And I'm really grateful for the experience that AA has taught me to have a better life and a better way of life for my family and my daughter and my friends and my family. So thank you for the privilege of letting me share on radio today.
Thank you, Rose, for sharing with us. Natalia, would you like to share?
Yes, thank you. My name is Natalia and I'm an alcoholic. And yes, I feel very privileged and grateful to be here today. And yes, it's something that I can do, is wake up on a Saturday morning and not have the regrets of what I did the night before, that awful, you know, thinking and the guilt that goes with it. And I'm a little bit older. I'm turning 63 soon, so a lot of my drinking, my big drinking, was done in the 80s and the 90s, and I'm really grateful we didn't have cell phones then. certainly I don't think I'd want to be doing it now, but, you know, my drinking story really, it's a classic journey of an alcoholic, really. You know, I drink hard and fast, and I was at the time doing, I was training as an engineer, a trade person at the time, and it was very, you know, I drank with the boys, but my drinking was a little bit different, you know, and it was always like that, you know, it was always a first drink, and when I picked up that first drink, I never knew where it was going to take me. And I must have known at the back of my mind that I, you know, there was something wrong with my drinking, and even from back then, I was aware of having to try and moderate it, which wasn't easy, but you know, as I've heard it shared by other women, you know, it was always in the forefront of my mind when I was going to get my next drink, when the next party was going to be, where it wasn't, you know, the next nightclub, the night out. You know, it took a lot of my headspace, you know, it was a preoccupation. You know, I got married in my 20s and, you know, I had a child and continued to work. But, and I thought that that would actually, getting married would actually calm me down and, you know, and I'd be all right. You know, I'd be married and I'd be the perfect housewife and everything would be fine. But, you know, being an alcoholic, you know, I started to get unhappy. And I had a great husband, you know, and I started to look for all the, you know, the things that were wrong in my marriage and not right. And, but without even realizing it, I just wanted to be able to drink, you know, how I wanted to drink and be able to get it, you know, get away with it. So consequently, when I turned 30, I left that marriage and I was really on my own for the first time. And that's when my drinking, you know, really progressed. It took on another dimension. I had to learn how to live on my own, look after my child at the time. And you know, looking back, you know, I found that really hard. And so I'd use alcohol to medicate, to cope with everything, to cope with life, to cope with the school drop-offs, the pickups, you know, financial insecurity, the whole lot, you know, being on my own. And also, when I didn't have my son, it also gave me the freedom to be able to do what I wanted to do. But, you know, being an alcoholic, you know, that put me in some unsafe situations. So by the time I was about 31, I, through a friend of mine, went to my first AA meeting. And, you know, interestingly, when I look back at that time, I didn't think I was an alcoholic. Oh, I probably knew, but I went to that meeting and I heard other people share and I resonated, you know, I related to what they had said. But, you know, at the time, I didn't think I was as bad as them, you know. I hadn't gotten into trouble. I hadn't been DIC'd. You know, I still had a job. You know, so I stayed for, you know, an AA for, you know, a couple of months and I felt really good. You know, I felt so good that I thought I was cured and I didn't need AA anymore and I wasn't an alcoholic. And so consequently, I went out there and I drank again. And I did this for a few more years, and there were consequences with my drinking. You know, it was getting noticeable. You know, my son's teachers at school were, you know, kind of talking about the fact that maybe, you know, SIFs might have to be called in. You know, my job was looking like it was going to be on the line, and you know, I was getting a bit of a reputation out there and also starting to get in trouble with the law. I mean, nothing big, but yeah, pretty awkward situations that I got myself into. And, you know, I, of course, got into another relationship with an alcoholic, and so it really took off. Well, by the time I got to about 37, 38, I think, I know I'd come to the end of my drinking. It was terrible. I was in a terrible place, and I knew that if I didn't do something, you know, very soon I was going to die. You know, it was a really black hole, and I was very desperate. So I got back to AA, and I got myself a wonderful sponsor, you know, a woman who took me through the steps and who'd been sober for a long time, and she helped a lot of women in AA. And I knew I wanted her as my sponsor. And, you know, it's been shared, you know, she took me into her home and she spent a lot of time with me and we looked at that big book, you know, of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I started to do those steps. And, you know, change was slow for me, you know. I was kind of really resistant to do the opposite, to do things that were a bit different, a little bit out of my comfort zone. But, you know, she had patience and persevered, and I wanted sobriety. I wanted it really badly because I knew for me the alternative was if I went out there and drank again, I would die. And you know, I did those steps, you know, and it took me time. And you know, throughout that time, you know, those years, my life has changed. It's changed radically. You know, now I've got, you know, two beautiful grandchildren, two beautiful mokopuna. I love them so much. I'm a trusted grandmother. I have a wonderful, you know, job that I go to every morning, and I'm not hungover. You know, I have a partner, a husband in AA, and we both work the steps together. And I have freedom, absolute freedom today. You know, it's, you know, sure I have worries and fears sometimes, but, you know, I've learned to live my life, you know, just the one day at a time, which is incredibly liberating. And there is the possibilities, you know, the future is just unlimited. And I owe all of this to a life of sobriety. You know, when I was drinking, I couldn't think myself out of a paper bag. Today I have clarity, happiness, and a sense of self-worth. I have my mana back, which is just something that you can't put a price on. So really pleased to be here, and thank you for having me here this morning.
Thank you, Natalia. Chantal, would you share with us, please?
Thank you. Hi, I'm Chantal, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm very grateful to be here to share my experience, strength, and hope today. In the beginning, I started drinking at a very young age. I was about 13, hated myself, didn't have any friends. So when I started drinking, I was like, had this boost of confidence that I could take on the world, except when I drank, it wasn't one would last me an hour, one would last me like 2 minutes. And I'd get blacked out drunk pretty quickly, sneaking out of home because my parents were strict and didn't want to be there. And slowly it got worse. By the time I was 18, I was working in hospitality, so I was getting drunk on the job. And my life was just falling apart, but I thought I had it all together because my rent was still paid, I was still going to work, and I didn't see how unmanageable my life had become. And then at 20, I found out I was pregnant about 6 months into the pregnancy. And that kind of put a halt on my drinking for about 3 months, and I thought, oh, well, now I've stopped, I can just stop. But it didn't. Once he was born, I just started drinking again, and it slowly got worse and worse and worse, to the point where I had lost everything by the time he was about 5, 6. I lost custody of him, I lost my job, I lost my house, and my whole world had fallen apart, but still I couldn't see the unmanageability of my life and just went deeper into drinking. I was living on the streets. I was just all over the show. And my boyfriend at the time, Dad, was actually in AA. And he sat me down one day and was like, you know, you have a problem. Do you want to come to a meeting? And I told him to, like, go away because I didn't have a problem. It was everyone else with the problem, not me. And I look back on it now, and I wish I had taken on the suggestion back then and really saw it for what it was. I didn't think AA could work. You know, I'd seen him. He was 20-plus years sober, and he saw it in me that I was an alcoholic. And then a few years went by, and my life just got worse and worse and worse to the point where I didn't want to live without alcohol, and I couldn't live without alcohol. And I tried to commit suicide a few times. And when I woke up in the psych ward, which is the most horrible experience of my life, I realised that something had to change. And I tried to do it on my own. I moved down the line out of Auckland. I changed my name, pretended to be someone else, and the problem still followed me. And then I had one more attempt at not being here, and I woke up so angry. I woke up so angry that I couldn't live without alcohol, and I couldn't, you know, make a cup of tea without adding anything into it, or, you know, looking after my kid without being drunk or anything like that. So someone came into the hospital room and said, you know, if you continue this, you're not going to make it much longer. And I was pretty hurt by that and took it as a personal attack on me, because they didn't know me. They didn't know what I had been through. And if you had my life, you would have drunk too. And then I found out I was pregnant again after trying to get sober on my own. And I ended up in a respite care, and someone took me to an AA meeting. And they said, just start, you know, just listen for the similarities and not the differences, because I was different to everyone. No one had the same problem as me. And I walked into the room and everyone was laughing and, you know, hugging each other. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? How can these people be sober and happy? Like, this is fake. There's no way. And then so I sat down and I listened and I was like, oh, she's kind of had the same story. And, oh, that's me too. And it was a bizarre feeling. So I stayed in the rooms for about 2 years, and then I got the, oh, I'm cured now because I haven't drunk for 2 years. Now I can go back to drinking like a normal person. No, you can't go back drinking like a normal person. So I moved all the way out to Orewa. I left all my recovery friends and moved in with my family, thinking that I could get back what I had lost. And it went well for a couple of months with no program or no recovery. And then I decided we were going to move again out to Waiuku in the middle of nowhere. And in that time, my life had become unmanageable again. I hadn't picked up a drink, but I had mentally relapsed. And I hadn't been to a meeting for a few years. And then a lady that I met in Waiuku was like, when was the last time you went to an AA meeting? And I said, like, 2 years, but I don't need it. And then I came back into the rooms and what do you know, I needed AA. I needed something to give me my life back. And now I'm so grateful to be here. I've got both my sons in full custody after a lengthy court battle. I've got a house. I'm studying to be something that I've wanted to be for my whole life, and I just never thought it would be possible. But thanks to the rooms and having a sponsor that I can talk to and having friends that understand that when I'm having a bad day, not to pass me a drink but to just talk me through it has been amazing. And I'm so, so grateful that I found my way into AA, because if I hadn't, I would not be here. I would not have my two beautiful sons. And I'm just grateful for AA, and thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Chantal. That's all the time that we have today. Thank you for our speakers for joining us into the studio today and for all of our listeners. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from Alcoholics Anonymous, please either call on 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, 0800 229 6757. Or visit the AA website, www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on Planet FM website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. Finally, could you all share with me, in closing this meeting, with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Think of me.